talking so much about wealth creation and success and business planning, I would just add one or two things just to round up the point. The fact that you're sitting here today means that you have succeeded in a particular way, in a particular area. The fact that you can walk in here, you know, the fact that you are, as a child, you learned how to walk. So you've succeeded in something. In fact, studies have shown that learning how to walk is more difficult than succeeding in any other area. So the fact that you can walk as a child, you walked here inside, you learned how to walk. Nobody really taught you how to walk. You got up, you stood up, you fell. You got up, it means that you are a successful person and there's success inside you. But what happened along the line is that the systems of the world, information from here and there, sort of clouded that effortless way of succeeding while we're wired by God with, that people now made it look very difficult. I mean, if you want to teach a child a language, it's not difficult. When you tell an adult, come and learn Italian or French, you say, ah, it's hard. So there's something that has been inculcated into people as they grow up that has made them start to think those things are difficult. So that's the issue. So that effortless way of succeeding that a child has, he wakes, he gets up, he walks, he starts talking. He's not really taught how to talk like that. He just picks it up. You see a child, he grows up, and when he's about four, you see vocabulary. You say, where did you get all these things from? It just comes together for him. So that's how it is. That's how we are wired by God. But information, things from outside have sort of crippled that part of us and have made us sort of think that everything is hard. I was watching this film called, it's Rocky, it's not Rocky, but it's what's it called? Creed. You know, there was something powerful. You know, I like Rocky because it shows determination and, you know, I like it because he said, when Rocky was training that boy, he said, you are the one in the way. Hit yourself out of the way and you knock that guy out. So there's nobody's the problem. You are the one in the way. Hit yourself. When he said that, that thing registered with me. So that means you are solely responsible for how far you go. Because God has wired you to succeed from the beginning. So that's why natural men are still succeeding. Because inside man, they've been wired to succeed. And we now have the extra element of the presence of God inside us as new creatures and the Spirit of God to give us direction. So there's really no excuse. You have been wired to succeed. We just have to accept it and believe it. So what we'll now talk briefly about, I mean, I was thinking about it, is that we'll have to get rid of how to actually, you know, the way God was showing me this thing as I was preparing for this thing was so strong. So everyone is a success.
That's right.
You succeeded in something. You succeeded in walking as a child. You can speak. Everyone is a success. There's no one that's a failure. It's just that they don't really know. And you see, what we want to focus on now, I know I have some slides, but I don't, is to find out how to connect with those things, that seed and that success pattern model that's inside you and how to make it relevant now. That's what we're going to talk about today. And it's going to be very brief. I'm not going to spend more than half an hour, you know, because I think that the principle of success and the use of the creation of wealth, there are two aspects to it, internal and external. So we talk about the external part, which involves everything we'll be talking about, everything we're talking about in church, about the seed, about all the things you need to do. We'll just run through it today, but I think the focus should be that internal part, because if that is not sorted out, just like the skeletal structure of a human being, if the skeletal structure is not sorted out, then this flesh and the sinews will not be able to have a framework to stay on. You know, so that's what we want to sort out. So you're successful, everyone is successful. Everyone has a story of success. And that's why the worst thing that can happen to a man, really, is to put himself in an environment where the history of his life is actually downplayed by anyone on the outside. That's the worst place you can be. Because those things form the building block and the cardinal framework for your life as an individual. So just know that. I want you to take home with that question. Look, I'm a successful person already. You know, Bill Gates, all those guys, there's nothing mystical about success. They've just been able to connect with those things. They've been able to connect with those, and they've taken away all those restrictions that we've inculcated in the course of time by our parents, by our friends, that not subconsciously, that have entered into our system and have made us start thinking another way. So let's go to the first slide. Okay, it's like this. How does it work? Ah. So that man staying there, just like starting point in life. On your marks, you know, he's getting ready to run. So, all right. Okay. We'll leave the slide first because this thing is getting serious. So, first of all, God is the source of everything. We have to understand that. You know, understand God is the source of all things. The Bible says, even for the man that is a sinner, that is successful, it says, all things, no man can receive anything except to be given to him from above. God is the source. He causes rain to shine on the just and on the unjust. But I like the way Reverend Matthew Ashimolo said, he said, because Christians, God came to Christians, he opened the door, they didn't enter, so he opened the window for Bill Gates. And so that they were entering through. So that it means that, to my knowledge, it means that how far a man that is not regenerate goes, a Christian can go far more. Just that we're not tapping into the resources that God has given us. So God is the source of all things. He created all things, and he's the source of every single thing. So note that. And the source is your father. You know, so you have an advantage. You have been blessed already. It says God blessed man in the beginning, you know, and we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. So it just makes you know that it all depends on you. Hit that man out of the way. You are the only one in front. Everything has been released to you. So how far you go is dependent on you as a person. In fact, what we're going to talk about today, it means that I want you to think about what do you want to achieve in the next 12 months? In terms of financial wealth, how much do you want to make? And, you know, in thinking about that, in writing goals, in setting goals, you know, I was thinking about it. Why do you want to make that wealth? You know, because I want to make £100,000 a month. So why do you want to make it? Or for example, the pastor, I want my church to be 10,000 people. Why is that? So in listening to Brother Jonah, I was thinking about it, I'm rearranging it. What need is there to be met in the environment? That's the better way to do it. I'm saying now, okay, this is the need that the UK needs or the Bromley area needs in a particular area. Maybe the children are going in a particular way or they are failing their exam so much. So I decided, Lord, or go to God in prayer and say, Lord, what is the need in this area? What is lacking? You go to God in prayer and God shows you, okay, these children are failing in their exams. So, okay, now I want to set up a program where children will be educated, parents will be educated to meet that particular need. When you do that, the 100,000 naira you're looking, £100,000 you're looking for comes to you effortlessly. Because what happens is that when you do that, you go to that with that idea and you sit with it and say, this is my target. And you take that thing and you begin to say, Lord, what are the ideas that will cause me to implement this thing? And once those ideas begin to come, those ideas are what will draw the money you are looking for. So you're saying, I want £100,000 a month. I mean, it's not, all sorts of things will be flashing through your mind. It's not coherent enough. You have to have a specific target. That's what I'm saying. So that thing must be focused on something. What's the essence of the wealth I want to get? Oh, it's about service. It's about service. So who are the target? What is the need of the people? What am I printing books for? I want to reach people. I mean, Hagin said it, Kenneth Hagin, and I'm sure you know him. He said, why did I build Rhema Bible College? He said, I wanted to meet the needs of humanity. That was the fundamental reason. And he said, the best way I thought to meet the needs was to teach them the word of God and how to produce results in their lives. So let that be the foundation. So maybe we need to reorder, refocus. Maybe that's why that vision of making that amount of money is moving so back, is going back every time you try to reach it. Try and focus it on something specific. Try and say, okay, what is the reason why I want this thing to work? Okay, why do I want a ministry like this? There are so many sick people in this place, incurable diseases. Lord, that's why I want you to clothe me with the healing anointing. So let us target that thing in meeting the needs, like you said, solving the problems around us. You know, that's one thing I want to say. So lessons of wealth. So that lesson of wealth is really to serve humanity. The reason why you're going to work is really to meet the needs of people. It says, let him that steal no more, but let him walk, laboring with his hands, that he might have to give. So everything you're doing really is for meeting the needs of humanity, basically. So that's the essence. So let's we'll talk more about that later. Okay, yes. The inner image, very important. That is what I'm going to focus on today. And we'll come back to that. We'll talk about stewards, beggars, and diggers, and the practice of stewardship. Work. So the practice of stewardship involves several elements. Work, simplification of your life, savings, and investments. You see, I was talking a bit about work. Work is the seed God has given you currently. I think you can be so, you know, God had to caution me recently because it seems like I was despising my work in a way. It's very subtle. You say, okay, I want to start something else, another business. So you start looking at your work like, this work is. I'm looking at, no. The work is the foundation. That's what God has given you as a seed. All you have to do is to know how to release the rain of heaven upon the works of your hands and cause it to multiply its effect. That's all. So don't despise the work God has given you. Like they said, what is this among so many? How can this job I'm doing meet so many needs? So don't despise the days of small things. So whatever you're doing with your hands now, Jesus says, bring the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to me. What did he do? He gave God thanks and he blessed it. And that's what caused it to multiply. So what we should be doing really is not to complain about the work. No matter what it is, even if he's selling pepper in the market, honestly, God can use whatever it is to multiply your effect on the earth. No matter what it is, give God thanks for it and bless it. Give God thanks for whatever you and bless it. Don't complain about it. No matter how trivial it looks, stop complaining about it. Give God thanks for it and bless it, and you see the multiplication effect. The second thing is, and another thing about work is, like Pastor Jonah was saying, you can actually practice some of those principles in an employment setting. To the point, look at Daniel. He was sort of in a structural setting, but he still distinguished. Look at Joseph. It was a structural setting. So you can be so productive in a structural setting that you have that kind of leeway as though you had your own business. You know, so let's think about that. So work, and the other thing about work is when you treat your work as a seed, you want to develop yourself and improve yourself to the point where you have more to actually give in terms of your workplace. Like medicine is quite good because they make you do it if you don't want to do it. You have CPD, continuous professional development, to train you continuously so that you will be up to date and have more to give actually. Because now, I'm going for a regional course, which is learning how to do blocks, which is the future of anesthesia. So you know how to do blocks to give people operations without putting them off to sleep. So that's the future. So they're training you constantly. So you have to, if they don't put it on you like we do in medicine, put it upon yourself. You know, make yourself grow in that thing so that you have more to give to the people around you. If you're a teacher, go for courses. Improve that skill. Build it up. You know, so work. So treat that work as a seed. Value it. From now on, stop complaining about it. No matter how small, no matter how much they pay you, value it. Begin to value. Say, God, this is the seed you have given me. I thank you for it and I bless it. You know, use words, God's words, to cause that multiplication effect to come. So simplification is the next thing I'll talk about. Simplification means cutting down your life, making it as simple as possible, not trying to live like the Joneses. Cutting, basically simplify your life. You know, I was thinking, do we actually need 2 cars? No, think that practical things.
Man of God, carry on.
I like that. That's why I like kind of garbage. We can chip in. Do you actually need two cars? No. Think about it. I mean, why do you need two cars? I'm talking about it. It was a discussion we had. So you simplify it. You know, I was listening to one of Pastor Kwajimese. He said that he doesn't have Coke in his fridge. This was years ago before I got married. You know, so you simplify it, take away the excesses, remove those so that you have more to store up, you know, in savings. Look at your, like you say, look at the budget, like you said. Look at all the things and the budget. Look, is this thing really essential? You know, the amount you spend on coffee, like she said, what she said, something entered me because I looked at my statement. No. This meeting is very good. I looked at the statement, my bank statement, and I saw coffee, £11. I saw when she said it, the ego just reminded me, see, that coffee, it must stop at £11. Why can't you make some bread at home, put ham inside, then take a mug with coffee inside and go to work? No, these are practical things, you know. So you cut down and simplify your life accordingly, you know. Simplification. You don't have to try and live like the Joneses. Nobody's in control. Right. Every man has his race to run.
That's right.
Every man has his time, like you said, time. You know, time and chance. Everyone has his own race. So don't try and be like the Joneses. The fact that your friends are driving does not mean you must drive it. You know, they have their own arrangement. So you follow your own agenda. You know, simplify your life. Simplify it. You know, there's no harm in actually, you say, okay, I want to buy a house. You say, you're not ready to buy it yet. You want to save for the point. The fact that people around you are buying houses does not mean you must buy now. Mm. Look at your own financial situation. Look at the budget. Look at the spreadsheet. You know, and decide with your family. You know, it's a thing of. It's a no.
Sabotage.
No, it's very. I love this. It's a family thing. Structure. You, like I said, you say you meet together, you decide what is the best for your own family, you know, and you make decisions prayerfully based on your family structure, you know. Forget about what is happening around. Do that. Simplify your life. The other thing is savings. You know, we'll go on to that. Let's go on a bit. We'll see that. So talking about God is the source. There's some scriptures there. I won't go into that. You can. We'll send you the slides anyway. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, the Lord says. He's the possessor of heaven and earth. Abraham lifted up his hands to God, say, no man can receive anything except it be given to him from above. So send the slides to you. The Most High rules in the affairs of men and gives the kingdom to whosoever he wills. You know, so that was Nebuchadnezzar's primary problem. He thought after some time, when he saw success, he felt he was well responsible for it. So he was lifting up his hands in pride. That's why God says, look, you become a beast. You know. There were two cardinal things since he did. I will talk about the second one. Okay, thou, what hast thou that thou hast not received? You know. Who giveth thee all these things which you to enjoy? So God is the source of all things. You're already blessed. These are just some of the things we talked about already. Just reiterating. Okay. Right. Okay, now I put. Let me go back to that slide. I put Joseph. You see, you have to understand the role of man and the role of God. You know, where did I put that slide? Okay, it's down here. Right. I put Joseph, Jacob there, and all those guys because Joseph, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, if you look at their lives closely, was their blessing really tied to any man, as it were? Men were used as channels, but God was the primary source. You know, we have to revert to that kind of thinking. Look at Joseph. He left his own place. He left far from where anybody knew him to a strange. No, think about it. Just like someone coming from Mozambique, right, to UK and becomes the prime minister. I mean, second in command. You know, so you can see that God was the source of all things. Look at Isaac, same thing. Jacob, the same thing. The wealth, the ideas for wealth creation came from God. People might have used as channels, but let us go back to that consciousness that God is really the source of all things. Very important. So you are blessed already, like I said. These are some of the scriptures. So you're not trying to be blessed. There's nothing you do that will make you more blessed than God has blessed you. You're already blessed. So what we are looking for is how to tap into the blessings that have been given unto us already by God. We're talking about the essence of wealth, just reiterating. So establish his covenant to be a blessing and to be a distribution center, which is very important, to spread the kingdom and all. Okay, the image. You know, this is so important. First of all, let me talk about, I'll talk briefly about the laws of money and I'll go into the image. Money has, as it were, two laws. And money is so strong, like I said earlier, because Jesus, there's nowhere that Jesus compared anything with God. He says, you either serve God or you serve mammon, because he knew the power of that thing to drop people's souls out. That's why the rich young ruler said, what have you? You've done all the other commandments except one. Okay, sell and give. He said he had great sorrow. That's the power money can have on people. You know, so let's understand that. So, the internal laws of money. We've talked mostly about the external laws, as it were, of money, which includes all the other things of savings, simplification of your life, and all that. The internal laws of money. You know, you cannot, I don't know how to put this, you cannot rise above your subconscious financial blueprint. Let me make it easier. If you have a carpenter and you buy him the most sophisticated tools, if you have someone that is not a carpenter, just an ordinary man, like me, although I do some DIY, but I'm not a carpenter, and buy him the most sophisticated tools, I say, construct this shed for me with the most sophisticated electronic stuff, I can't do it. No matter how much I try, I can't. I'm not a carpenter. So no matter how much tools I try on the outside, I can't do it. So he has to be a trained carpenter. That's what I'm talking about. That subconscious financial blueprint. You have to be a trained carpenter. Even if he's given inferior tools, he will do the job.
That's right.
What I'm saying is that subconscious success model that's already inside you.
That's right.
Like I said, the fact that you worked as a child is enough for success. You have succeeded in one area. Must be actually, we have to make contact with it again. If not, nothing will work. They took a study about the guys that are very successful. They found out that they have the same subconscious decision-making processes. That means it's as if they had different areas, but they had a certain mindset, you know, that sort of effortlessly brings out the decisions they make regarding wealth. It was as if they were clones of one another. So there's something that's inside them that is making them make those decisions. Inside Warren Buffett, there's something inside him that's making him make those decisions. You know, so let us, what we want to do is to show people how to get back to that place where they can connect with that thing. That's it. Because you can have all the things. Why is it that two people are doing the same thing exactly? One is moving forward, one is not moving forward. Why is that? There's something inside that is driving it. Just like they said, the Egyptians, they tried to cross the Red Sea. Because they saw the Israelites crossing it, but they didn't know there was something behind it. They said, which the Egyptians are attempting to do. They drowned. So there are people attempting things, but they haven't gotten the image right.
That's right.
The image has to be right. You have to have that financial blueprint inside you that you are a success already. I will see how to contact it. All those things in childhood, those things are there. Let's use an example. I want to read something to you in this book. This book is called Managing God's Mutual Fund, written by Kenneth Copeland. I'll read something to you. Very powerful. It says, whenever you sense the Spirit leading you to give, give whatever you can. It may not be much at first, but don't worry about that. Just keep developing that image inside you. Follow me. It says, see yourself giving more in your mind. Practice writing those checks. See, this is Copeland, the Apostle of Prosperity. Again and again. This is where the real work is. Soon, faith will start to rise up inside you. The promise of God will begin to get real inside you. I know it's mine, you think. God, this is before you haven't gone anywhere. You're still sitting in your bedroom. God is making all grace abound towards me, and I will have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound unto every good work. Brother Copeland, surely you're not saying I should use my imagination. Yes, that's precisely what I'm saying. Why do you think God gave it to you? Coupled with the word of God, your imagination is a tremendous thing. Let it help you visualize God's promise. A hazy hope is not enough. You need a detailed picture. I first learned how to use my imagination that way as I kicked for my high school football team. This is how, see, anybody that is so successful, they practice this thing. This is the foundation of everything. They might not tell you the secrets. Listen to this. It says, I'll lie down in bed and visualize myself making the kick. I could see the turf beneath my feet, the laces on the ball. This is how detailed you have to be. And the goal post in front of me. Then in my mind's eye, this is what Joshua was told in Joshua 1:8. It says, meditate. In your mind, as you meditate on scripture, you begin to make your way prosperous. It's very deep. It says, with my mind's eye, I will visualize the ball sailing between the posts. I'll do that over and over and over again, building an image of that successful kick within me. Let me warn you, sometimes it's difficult to create new images, especially when old images are blocking the way. Follow me. This is this is the crux of the matter. It says, if, for example, you've been living on the edge on the edge of financial disaster since you were in kindergarten, it will take a lot of time in prayer and in the word to change the picture of poverty that's been established inside you. Don't take it for granted. As growing up as a child, what you saw around you has entered into you. Let's not take those things for granted. Those things are images that you might not even know they are there, but we'll show you how to recognize the images and actually you change those images. And the way the mind, 15 more minutes, we'll talk about this. The way the mind is functioned, there are several centers. The logic center, you have the emotional seat, and you have the center where you logic, the emotions, and you have, and logic is sort of, that's where you use words and all that. And you have the imagination where you use pictures and all that. You know, so I think the imagination, the center of the emotion is where, I think it's one of the most powerful centers. I know people have thought, you don't imagine, I mean, your emotions are not important. No, extremely important. That's why joy is what you use to draw water out of the wells of salvation. So that emotional seat is like a check that God has given you. Just, this is going to be really practical. For example, let me give you an example. If you might think, if you say, I want to make £10,000 by the end of this year, by the end of this month, sorry, and in 3 years' time you haven't gotten it, it means, because you're wired for so, it means that not every part of you wants you to have it. You might not agree, but it's the truth. That's the reason why you don't have it. Because not every part of you is in an agreement with that thing. We think that it's just like that. Not every part of you wants you to succeed. So we have to bring all the components of our being into harmony. And how do you know it? It's through the emotional feeling. For example, let me tell you what happens. When you hear that someone is going to succeed, or your friend, not someone, let's say both of us have, let me use myself as an example. I hear that my friend, who is a pastor, we're together, we started, has opened a church and he has 10,000 people. And in my emotional state, something begins to move. No, this is a practice. Something begins to move inside me. It means that, the way it is, it means that inside my heart, I don't want my, inside me, there's something inside me that doesn't want me myself to get that thing. Understand this thing. That's what it means. It means that there's something inside me. It doesn't care who gets it. Inside me that doesn't want me myself to get that thing. So it means that I can get it. That's why it's successful people. When they see you, they say, oh, they're looking for ways, because they have changed that internal configuration to the point where they want everybody to succeed. Looking for ways, how can I help you? Yeah, you need to move on. There's something inside you. That's a check that God has put. It means that those things, jealousy, it means that you are not ready. Even you yourself, inside there's something militating again. You might think you want to succeed, but inside you don't want to succeed. There's something there that doesn't want you yourself to succeed. So what we are going to teach now is, how do you get all the parts to change those things that you didn't put them there? Teachers, parents, television, close associations, subconsciously, not anything of their fault, that have entered into you. I see some things coming out of you that you didn't even know how did they get there, for goodness sake. It's changing that internal image. So, what happens now? The guy is feeling that way. It means that even if he wants to get it, that structure will stop him from getting that thing. Let's understand that. So, how do we change that thing? How do we begin to make those adjustments on the inside of us? It's by the word of God. To change the internal structure of that thing, of our being. That's why he said, look, Joshua, there are certain things inside you, but you have to meditate upon this word until those things begin to... It's like a transformation takes place, you know. That's when all these other things will work. You can get a certain degree of success, but to break into a league where there's so much abundance, go to Bill Gates and ask him. He'll tell you, practice it. Go to Warren Buffett, say, sir, sit down and tell me. You say, this is what I did. Go to anybody you see succeeding. They might not be using the word, but they are practicing it. But this is the script, the thing that God has given us to change the internal configuration of our being to being a successful person. That's it. So that check is there. That thing is there that he doesn't want you to succeed. He says, sir, I don't want you to go that way. You can't get it. So let's understand that. And let's know how to begin to change that. We'll go on. I will show you now. Right. So how do we change it? We'll go to the Word of God and begin to take those things. First of all, what you really do practically, I'll tell you. When you hear that kind of thing, and some is good. It means that you can get to a point where you don't. So they're succeeding. You don't feel anything. It means that person has entered soul sleep. See that he has broken through, or he has dealt with those things, or he's in a space where he doesn't really care anymore. His life doesn't really want to achieve anything anymore. There are two places to be. So you take that thing. Let me tell you what you do. You go to God in prayer. I'm going to give him God thanks. We're talking about, this is practical now, for what he is doing in the lives of the person. So the next time it happens to you, that has broken through so much, you begin to give God thanks. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. And you begin to release words of blessing, exercise to get rid of those things on the inside. I'll tell you. You do it to the point where you begin to feel the joy as though you are the one in possession of it. This is practical, though. You stay there with it. I say, Father, I thank you for what you are doing in Pastor Shergo's life. I give you thanks for it. You are setting yourself free. You are breaking the limitations and the seals of your own heart by doing that. You are breaking yourself into that place, into that space that you're able to experience that same thing. If you have a mentor or someone ahead of you that you've seen going through processes in life, you saw him when he was small and is now growing up, you take it inside your own closet. Say, Father, this is it. You begin to give God thanks for that person and put yourself as though you are the one in that thing and see yourself going through those various stages and progression. That's what happened to David. What happened to David and Goliath? Just think about it. What happened to him? He went to that place and they said, look, his brother said, look, I know the nothingness of your heart. You want to come and spy us in this land. You want to come and join the war. You go back to the sheep. Go back to where the father put you, in the back of the sheepfold. What happened? David said, no. David hadn't got anything contaminated. It was still fresh in him. He said, no. I want to make contact with the very things, that effortless thing, when nobody knew. That thing in childhood, I was able to walk without anybody. That thing, that success image on the inside of me. He came and said, I can destroy this man. There was no contamination. He said, you are a small boy. Those are the things that have seeped into people's consciousness. How a 17-year-old boy was king. A 7-year-old boy was king. Go to kings. Who told his, your childhood or age matters? It doesn't matter. A 7-year-old boy, I was looking at it, a 7-year-old boy was king. Who puts the limits? We set the limit. People set the limit. So David said, no, you cannot do that. He said, I was at home. The lion came. I destroyed the lion. I destroyed the bear. All I need to do is to go back to those places where God gave me the victory and connect it with my present situation. Goliath will fall like them. He said, what I will do, I will begin to give God thanks. But I thank you for destroying the lion. This is very strong. And the bear. Now, in my mind's eye, I put in Goliath as a picture of the lion. And the same thing happens in my mind. I know I was telling this today that when I came to this country, I had 4 weeks. See, this thing is the, one of the most... I had 4 weeks to do an exam that people have been doing for 2 years. 4 weeks. I said, I know what I will do. Then it was unconscious of them. I said, let me practice this. I had some victories in my past regarding exams. I took it literally and I began to worship God over it. And I tell you, that same experience came inside me. And I put that thing inside that experience. I say, in my worship, Father, I thank you for what you did then. As I began to do it on a daily basis, the thing overwhelmed me. I said, thank you for what you did regarding the exam I was going to take, but I brought it into the present. See, understand? See, I said, Father, I thank you. For example, I did an exam in 1980-something. I thank you for how you brought me through, because that was one of the landmarks. So go to the successes of your life. That's how you change the image. Regarding, go to the successes, the places where it was as though, wow, this is so... effortless. God, you came in for me. Go to those and begin to worship God in those places. As you worship, you begin to see certain things and wisdom in those things. That's why the children do not understand the ways of God. They only saw the miracles because they didn't go back to worship God in the light of those things to see what they did subconsciously in those situations, which they can now practice deliberately in the new situation. So you begin to do that. I began to worship God in the light of that thing. I began to worship him in light. You see, when I was facing that situation, I actually had angelic presence. I felt it then when I had that situation. And when I brought it in, I began to feel the same thing. See, I'm sure you have experienced, it's hard to understand. You begin to feel the same atmosphere of what happened then comes right back into you. And you begin to make decisions based on that. The Holy Ghost begins to inspire you with those same several thoughts. You begin to make decisions. Subconsciously, very powerful thing. So I began to worship God over that thing. I said, now, Lord, I thank you because this exam, which was futuristic, but I put it as though it was in the past tense. Thank you because I had passed these exams already, the same way I passed those other two exams in this situation. I tell you, in 4 weeks' time, it's not that I had as much knowledge. I was entering places subconsciously that I needed to enter. I was meeting people subconsciously I needed to meet. And what happened in 4 weeks time, I passed the exam. Even in the exam hall, I knew that some of the answers were coming from, this thing is very deep, from my spirit. Someone asked me afterwards, how did you do it? I said, I couldn't explain it, but I know that's the answer. This is how you change internal configuration, because when you do that, it's like turning from a butterfly, from a caterpillar to a butterfly on the inside. That's what happens. You begin to change on the inside of you. You begin to change on the inside of you. And the other thing you should do, really, is to take God's word regarding that area. For example, finances. Begin to meditate on it to the point where, and regarding that situation, you have to be specific. You have to see Goliath himself falling. You have to see that business. You have to see the people flocking into your business on your bed before you step out. You have to see yourself working in that organization you desire to as you meditate on the scriptures. When he says you have good success, what is good success in practical terms regarding what I'm doing with my hands? I began to see myself rejoicing. I played it over and over. I saw myself kneeling down. When I saw the results on the board in Russell Square, I saw myself kneeling down saying, Father, I thank you. When I saw the results, I repeated that same thing because I saw it. You see yourself laying hands on sick people and they're recovering. You see yourself doing that over and over and over again in your mind's eye before you step out. There's one guy called Reverend Bolato in Nigeria. He comes and he comes to minister accurate word of knowledge. So what did he say before the meeting? He lies down on his bed and begins to picture it. This is my teacher, picture it. Say, I will lay my hands on the sick and they recover. So the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, I give it to everyone to pray. He begins to see people. He begins to see people in various conditions on his bed. See himself praying for them, seeing them being healed. He comes out. And the manifestations begin to take place. Say, how do you do it? That's what he does. And the Holy Ghost begins to take him as he meditates on the word of God. His mind begins to go into those places. You must be specific and have a goal, that's what I'm saying. And meditate on the word in the light of what that goal is. Not just a generalized, no. You see yourself, you make your way prosperous in your mind's eye, that you go out and have good success.
That's right.
You must be specific. No. You must be specific. Those words must come that you make your way prosperous in that business proposition. If it's that 3 million, you meditate on it. On God's word, then you begin to bring it to your present situation. This thing must work. Because we're wired for success. Nothing should stop hit. See, I like the rock, he hits that man out of the way. He's only hindrance. Nobody's your hindrance. Forget about following people and pursuing people and saying you are the one. No, forget about all that. Strive, get rid of all that. Nobody's responsible for anything. Release everybody, but stay with that thing and meditate on it until you begin to see clearly. I saw myself walking into the company. I saw them shaking my hands. I saw them handing over the letter to me. I saw myself laying hands on sick people. I saw myself recovering. I saw myself ministering in the spirit. And I saw people getting healed. You have to see it clearly in your mind's eye. It's very important. And you begin to change on the inside of you. That internal conflict begins to change. Time is up now. But see, go home and practice. Everything you've learned today. Meditate on the scripture is relevant. It's now, in the now. When talking of future to God. The only thing is, why can't you, that 1 million you've been writing, why have you not been able to reach it? Nobody is more special than you. No. Bring God into the personal space of your life. It's practical. Go back and meditate on the word and bring it to your present situation. See yourself doing that thing over. And over. I know they brought one man. He came to the living and said, what happened? I think it was Benny Hinn. He brought the check. He said, 1 million. He said, I wrote this check 3 years ago. I'd seen myself writing it over and over again. As I meditated on the scripture, he said, God has made all grace come to me in abundance. I saw myself walking to your office. And I saw myself handing over the check of 1 million to you. So we're not using the faculties that God has given us. The people of the world are using that and getting tremendous results, meditating on a mind, on images created by man. We're talking about meditating on the word of God and making your way prosperous with the word. That internal configuration has to change. The one you have changed that, the one on the outside is cheap. Even they give you inferior tools, you will produce the results.
That's right.
That's making it. Some people are jogging on the road in the morning. Exercise. So why are these people jogging? They are doing the real work. They have made their business has succeeded. They've gone to the end of it. They've come back. They've gone to the end. They've come back. Ask athletes. They've run that race. Ask those top performing athletes. They've run. It was Djokovic. The guy said, "What is? Is there any way to go after this?" He laughed. He said, "I saw myself carrying Wimbledon when I was 17." He said, the sky is not my limit. He said, as far as I can see, I will get it. We're talking about creating pictures with the word of God. Regarding your specific, God is in the now of your life. It's not futuristic. Regarding that specific thing, that goal you've had, make sure you begin to form images until that thing is ready, until that joy begins to form on the inside of you, until that emotion changes on the inside of you. Then when you hear your friend has made 5 million, something inside you will begin to leap for joy. You get that thing. Nothing moves again. You get that thing because you are ready. That thing I say, okay, now it has been broken. The barriers have been broken. I can achieve anything I set my heart to. We're wired for success. Nothing is there. The only hindrance is inside. All those strive, envy, that strive, there's a disparity. No, it's just distractions. Forget about that. The person that is inside there. Father, we give you thanks.
Thank you, Jesus.